Ready for a deep dive into some 19th century drama? Today it's all about Edouard Manet's Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. You know, the one with the nude woman just casually picnicking with those dressed up dudes. Still turns heads today, even after all this time. We've got a whole pile of articles and analyses to unpack, so let's jump right in.
You see, what's really interesting about Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe is that it's not just about what you see on the surface, it's how Manet chose to show it. This deceptively simple picnic scene, blown up on such a huge canvas, it was like a slap in the face to the art establishment.
Yeah, I didn't think about the size. Is it what, like 6 feet by 9 feet? You can't just walk by that. Yeah. He definitely wasn't shy about wanting to shake things up. But okay, what about the title change? Why start with Le Bain, the bath? And then switch gears to focus on the picnic.
Honestly, that's part of the mystery that still surrounds this painting. Some art historians, they think that by first calling it the bath, focusing on that woman in the background, he was kind of toying with everyone. Maybe Manet knew the nude woman would cause a huge stir, and changing the title just added fuel to the fire.
Now that's how you create some buzz, right? Plus, this wasn't just some random model, was it? Didn't I read somewhere that Manet might have known the woman in the painting?
You're right. It's generally believed that the nude woman is Victorine Meurent. She was one of his favorite models. And get this, they think the men in the painting are actually Manet's brothers, Eugene and Gustave, along with his brother-in-law, Ferdinand Leenhoff.
Whoa, so it's a family affair? That makes things a little awkward, don't you think? But seriously, the fact that these might be familiar faces in such a scandalous scene just adds this whole other layer to unravel. Why paint your family like this? Was he making a statement about society's double standards, or was this more of a personal jab at those norms?
Those are the million-dollar questions art historians are still trying to figure out. But you hit the nail on the head, that personal connection just throws gasoline on the fire. Don't forget, this is 19th century Paris, a time and place obsessed with proper behavior. This painting, with its stark contrasts, feminine versus masculine, the vulnerability of the nude woman against the confidence of those clothed men, all bathed in this play of light and shadow, it was beyond shocking.
Yeah, shocking is putting it mildly. Back then, people were used to seeing nudes in these mythological or historical settings, not just enjoying lunch in the park.
Exactly. And don't even get me started on that look the nude woman gives. That direct gaze was unheard of back then. Is she challenging the viewer? Is she indifferent? Or was Manet using her eyes to make us, the audience, confront our own assumptions about art and women's place in society?
Yeah, her eyes really grab you. It's like she sees right through you, daring you to judge. But, okay, before we get too lost in her gaze, I gotta know, where did Manet get the guts to paint something so bold? Did he just pull this out of thin air, or was he inspired by something else?
Well, Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe definitely broke the mold, but Manet wasn't exactly working in a vacuum. He was actually playing with these really clever references, reinterpreting the work of some Renaissance masters. It's like he's having this whole other conversation with art history on top of everything else.
So he was tipping his hat to the old masters while simultaneously flipping them off. I think I'm starting to get why this painting caused such an uproar. Tell me more about these connections to the classics.
Okay, so check out how he arranged the figures. Art historians have pointed out that it's practically a direct echo of this Marc-Antonio Raimondi engraving, The Judgment of Paris, which itself was based on a drawing by Raphael. We're talking about the heavy hitters of art history here.
It's like Manet saying, hey, remember those iconic works of art everyone worships? Watch what I can do with a similar setup. Pretty gutsy, but also kind of genius when you think about it.
Exactly. And there's even more to uncover. Remember how we were talking about the original title, Le Bain, and that woman bathing in the background? Well, her pose and where she's placed in the scene are super close to Nude Woman in Georgiana's The Tempest, another one of those Renaissance masterpieces.
It's wild how these little details, these subtle nods to other works, can totally change how you see the painting. Manet wasn't just trying to be shocking for the sake of it. He was having this dialogue with art history, using the past to sort of challenge the present.
And boy, did he get people talking. The public and the critics, they had a lot to say about Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. Some folks were just totally baffled, while others, well, they were downright angry. And when the painting got rejected by the Paris Salon, you know, that big deal exhibition, it ended up in the Salon des Refusés. Basically, the exhibition specifically for art that was considered too controversial, too edgy for the mainstream art world.
So getting rejected from the Paris Salon was actually a good thing in a way. It's kind of funny how being too scandalous is what made it famous. What were the critics saying back then? Were they just as confused by it as we are now?
Oh, you better believe they had some thoughts. Like, there was this critic named Louis Etienne, and he described the nude woman as a breda of some sort, which, by the way, is a type of pear known for its curvy shape, lolling boldly between two swells dressed to the teeth. Can you believe that?
Comparing her to a piece of fruit. I mean, you got to give him points for creativity, I guess, even if it's a bit rude. But did anyone stick up for Manet? Did anyone get what he was trying to do?
Yeah, actually, there was this young writer and art critic, Emile Zola. He was a huge supporter of the Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. He argued that all the fuss over the nude woman was overshadowing what really mattered, the artistic skill, especially Manet's use of light, color, and composition. He thought it was brilliant.
So while everyone else saw a scandal, Zola saw a work of art. He understood that Manet wasn't just out to shock people. He was trying to push the boundaries of what art could be, right?
Exactly. And that's what makes Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe so captivating, even after all these years. It still sparks debate and inspires new interpretations. But it doesn't end there. This painting didn't just exist in its own little world. It had a huge impact on the art world, influencing so many artists in the years to come.
Okay, now I need the inside scoop. Who was inspired by this painting? Who else felt like they had to respond to what Manet started? Give me the rundown on Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe's legacy.
Okay, so we've talked about the uproar it caused, and we've gotten into what inspired the painting. Now let's dig into the legacy of Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. I mean, something this groundbreaking, it had to leave a mark on the art world, right?
Oh, absolutely. Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe really shook things up back then, and its impact is still felt today, especially in the work of artists who were directly inspired by it. So who are we talking about? Which artists took Manet's lead and ran with it?
Well, for starters, there's a name you'll definitely recognize, Claude Monet. Yeah, even he was blown away by Manet. Early in his career, he actually painted his own version of Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe.
It's kind of like finding out your favorite band was heavily inspired by a band you've never heard of. Makes you want to trace those influences, see where they lead, you know. Mm-hmm. But Monet wasn't the only one drawn to Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe, was he?
Not even close. Paul Cézanne, another one of those impressionist giants, he also drew inspiration from Manet's painting. He reimagined the whole theme, but in his own unique style. And then, of course, there's Picasso. Talk about a guy who was obsessed with reinterpreting the classics.
Wait, Picasso and Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. Okay, now I'm really interested. We're talking about a man who practically reinvented art in the 20th century. What kind of conversation was he having with a 19th century painting?
Well, for Picasso, it went way beyond inspiration. It was like this obsession. Over several decades, he created something like 27 paintings based on Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. And then there were countless drawings and even sculptures, all of them engaging with Manet in some way. He really dug into the composition, you know, exploring those themes of desire and what society expects. He even played with the idea of the artist as a provocateur, kind of mirroring what Manet himself did.
Wow, it's amazing to think that a single painting could have that much staying power, that it could still inspire someone like Picasso so many years later. Really shows you the power of Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. It makes you think. But its influence didn't stop at paintings, did it? You mentioned a film adaptation, right?
Yeah. Back in 1959, Jean Renoir, the famous French film director, he actually made his own version of Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. It's a really interesting kind of whimsical film that takes all those themes from Manet's painting and puts them into a modern setting. It's like he's asking whether anything has really changed when it comes to art and desire.
A film adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about Manet's work, how much it's endured. I mean, it's not just stuck in a museum somewhere. It's out in the world, sparking new interpretations, new conversations.
Yeah.
And it's not just influencing high art either.
Yeah.
Did you say a punk band was inspired by it?
True story. In the 80s, this punk band, Bow Wow Wow, they caused a big stir with their album cover, which was a direct reference to Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe, though they definitely gave it their own punk rock spin.
It's really incredible, isn't it? A painting from the 1860s inspiring a punk band a whole century later. Just goes to show you, art can really transcend, well, just about everything. Time, genres, you name it. But it all comes back to that initial shock, that gauntlet that Manet threw down with Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe. So I have to ask, do you think a painting like this would cause as much of a scene today as it did back then?
That's the question, isn't it? The world's a different place, right? Social norms are different. Ideas about art, about what you can and can't express, it's all different. But there's still something about that nude woman, the way she looks right at you. It's still daring, maybe even a little subversive even now. So maybe it wouldn't cause the same outrage, but I think Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe would still get people talking. It would challenge us, make us confront those assumptions we don't even know we have. And maybe, just maybe, it would force us to think. What do you think?
I think you've given me a lot to think about. And to our listeners, we'll leave you with that question. What does Le Déjeuner sur l'herbe say to you today? That wraps up our deep dive for today. Until next time, keep those eyes open, keep asking those questions, and never stop exploring.